Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network. Welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church with your host, John Stanko. This program will focus on people, events, and current ministries at ACAC, a vibrant urban congregation in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet radio land. Greetings from snowy and cold Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where it's going to get colder. I don't think snowier. Of course, we can't complain when you look at New York and now especially what Boston and my friends up in the Providence, Rhode Island area are receiving. But anyway, it's still cold, and I look, it's supposed to be in single digits this weekend. But anyway, it's good to be coming back at you today. I'm sitting here, not at home office. This time I'm at my office at Geneva College in Point Breeze. The heater's not working too well, so I have my little portable heater pumping out some heat. It's a pretty small office, so it's heated it up pretty well. And today we are going to, in just a moment, be bringing on Pastor Andy Antoninka, who just serves us so faithfully at ACAC. My time on staff didn't even want to think about what would it be like if Pastor Andy wasn't there. Always Johnny on the spot, doing this, doing that, doing whatever it was, especially things that come up at the last minute, like counseling, hospital visitation, and unfortunately the occasional funeral. And I just came from one today at ACAC. We had the funeral service, the homegoing celebration for Kimberly Miller, who is Carolyn Hager's daughter, who was in an accident late last year and never really recovered, and passed away last week. And so the funeral was today. A lot of people came out, a lot of crying, and I'm not saying that's unusual. And when somebody's young and passes, a lot of their friends are still around. They haven't moved away. They haven't passed on. So they're always very moving. And I consider Kimberly young. She was 50. And so saw our staff and, many of our team and members who were out, but also many of the family. And Carolyn, a strong trooper, worshiping at the casket, lifting her hands to the Lord. And so anyway, I always said when I pastored, a funeral puts everything in perspective. You know, I would be running around doing this, running around doing that, but then realized that one day I won't be running around anymore. And my times, our times, are in His hands, as the scriptures say. And so our prayers, best wishes go out to Carolyn and Michelle, who is one of our service attendants, Kim's sister, and, to all of the family affected and impacted by this passing. And I thought Pastor Rock, as always, did a great job. And I had to leave a little bit early because I had some meetings I just could not reschedule. But anyway, it was a very moving time, as it always is. Now, I always like to go through the bulletin from the previous weekend to make sure if you're listening live or if you're listening the week of this broadcast when it is made and recorded, that you will have a little bit of a reminder of what we are doing and what's going on at ACAC. Of course, this week we start our 91 Weeks with Jesus, Know the Word Bible study. We'll be preaching out of that, and it kicks off this weekend. Pastor Blaine did a message this past weekend called The Incredible Journey, talking about this 91 weeks with Jesus, encountering our Savior through His Word. So I will have the privilege on the third week, February 21st, 22nd, to minister from the readings of that particular week. And I'll tell you, it's a smorgasbord for me. I get to choose anything from Genesis 23, the death of Sarah, to Genesis 32, Jacob coming back after he is enriched by his time with his uncle Laban. So, you know, the problem, I'd almost rather they gave me two or three verses because there's so much in those chapters. But I think I have narrowed it down. I'm going to focus on Jacob's initial trip when he left his parents to go find his wife and work for his uncle. Interesting story of what transpires on his way there. So that's the big news. 91 Weeks with Jesus, asking you to sign up. To show that you are committed to the 91 weeks. If you can't access them online, you can order the CDs, and we'll be glad to produce them and give them to you. So they are available in the main lobby after you order them. Now, the second biggest news is the Spaghetti Dinner fundraiser. Boy, I don't know how many years we've done this, but it's been a lot. And so this year it is the weekend of February 14th and 15th. Saturday the 14th from 4:30 to 6, Sunday from 11 to 2, and it is a spaghetti dinner for the benefit of student summer missions opportunities, and the tickets are $8.25, and children are $4.25. You can buy them from any students who are selling them nonstop, or you can stop at the Connection Hub and pick them up. And I know every year they raise a couple thousand, $3,000 for the trips, all needed for the young people and their chaperones who are going. So that's a big event coming up, February 14th and 15th. Now, speaking of 14th, I think on the 14th, on the Saturday night service, there is going to be a marriage renewal celebration. So any couples who are there that evening can renew their vows. There'll be a little party afterwards, and Pastor Rock and Karen will be teaching the waltz, which is kind of cool. So that's Valentine's Day, which is coming up 2 weeks, couple of weeks. And so let's see, what else? Then we have worship the night before that, February 13th in the chapel. We have the Worship Uninhibited. That's in a time where we just spend additional time in corporate prayer and worship. Also, and I'm sorry I'm doing these a little out of order, but on Sunday night, February the 8th, we are having a panel discussion of a topic, Living in a Racialized Society. Pastor Rock will be on the panel. We have a wide variety of community officials and servants who will be on that panel. I will have the privilege of moderating that night. We're asking you, if you have a question about the context or the challenges of living in a racialized society, we encourage you to write out your question and submit it to the Connection Hub. That's coming up not this weekend, but the following weekend. Then I was looking at the bulletin. We have a couple short-term mission opportunities. Of course, I'm off to Kenya February 26th this year, but I'm looking. There's an opportunity to St. Petersburg, Russia in June of 2015, and there is a meeting for those who would like to go to Paris, France, and that is in August of 2015. The meeting for St. Petersburg was last Sunday. The meeting for Paris, France is February 22nd. I don't have any more information on that, but I will get that. Also, a prison ministry orientation is going to be held at the end of February, February 28th. Information about that in the bulletin. We picked up a baby bottle for part of the baby bottle campaign, where you are asked to fill a baby bottle with change or put a check in or bills, and this is for the benefit of Women's Choice Network. So we have ours. It's due not this weekend, the following weekend. So we're working hard to try and fill up our baby bottles. And finally, in the broadcasting area on Cornerstone Network, which is the Christian station here in the city, ACAC has a show on Pittsburgh's Faith and Family Channel. Now, it's a little more complicated than I can explain. You can go online or you can pick up a bulletin and you can go to you can watch it online. And it is available, the show is available and showing on Sundays at 8, Wednesdays at noon, and Fridays at midnight. So three interesting times, catching different audiences each time, and it is showed. So that's only one expression of what we hope will be many as we go forth, continue with our expanded influence initiative. Well, enough about what's going on at ACAC. I want to bring our guest on today, Pastor Andy Antoninka. Pastor Andy, welcome to Ministry Beat.
Thank you, Pastor John. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. It's been too long. And obviously, the objective of the show is just to help people know a little bit more about what's going on at ACAC and also what's going on with the people who work at ACAC. So let me start out by just asking, how long have you and your wife, Sue, been a part of ACAC?
We've been attenders for about 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And on staff for perhaps 15.
Mm-hmm.
When a prince is not remembering dates exactly, Pastor John, so those are pretty reasonable estimations.
Sure. So we recognized a good person when they came to the church, and we hired you shortly thereafter. What brought you? What was your journey? How did you get to ACAC? Do you have an alliance background? Are you from Pittsburgh? Give us a little bit of background.
Yeah, I grew up in West Deer Township in a coal mining community. My father was a coal miner. On Sundays, my mom and dad would get all five of us and point us towards the United Presbyterian Church at the bottom of the hill and send us packing, and went to Sunday school there for most of grade school through high school. And then I went to college and was more or less disappointed in the political situation of the church and decided I was going to drop out. Got back home and met a wonderful lady, and we were married, and Susie and I have been together almost 48 years. My goodness, seems like yesterday. Mm. Nonetheless,
wow.
we went back to a UP church and really enjoyed it. I was on boards, youth leader, everything, and I was working at Alcoa at the time and would always talk about the Bible to a friend at work. And Charlie was one of those evangelicals, and praise the Lord. And he says, well, let's take a walk, Andy. And we went out for lunchtime, beautiful day, walking around the campus there. And he says, if you died today, do you think you would go to heaven? Just knocked me off my feet. And I started to hem and haw and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. He says, but do you know? Well, I don't, and he shared the simple gospel with me, having going to church probably 10 years old through 26, 27 years old.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of just a wonderful exploration of the power and of Christ in my life. And that's kind of when I started ministry. I began to do Bible studies and, you know, just whatever God would lead me to, which was the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Arnold.
Okay.
That closed, and we built a new church in Lower Burrell. And we were there for, probably 15 years. Just wonderful, wonderful church. And we were coming back from vacation. The kids were in the back of the car, and we're coming across the Fort Pitt Bridge, and just had the discussion of where we're going to have dinner, which was Chinese. How can I remember that and not dates, huh? But nonetheless, I looked at Susie. She looked at me, and she said, what did you just hear? I said, I'm hearing that we're to start looking for another church.
Mm.
My goodness, that was just amazing to us. We visited a number of churches and heard about Allegheny Center. We went. It was around Christmas time, and we went in for the children's Christmas service.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Ed Glover was summarizing the service, and he gave an altar call that was just absolutely God-inspired. And again, we looked at each other and said, I think we're home. So that was almost 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to, you know, you meet the Lord and you immediately start ministering. Were you invited to do these Bible studies, or did it just seem like had you had a disposition to be doing them before you gave your life to the Lord? I'm just interested in your call to ministry and how immediate it was around your time of committing your life to the Lord.
Yeah, just a little bit of background. When I graduated high school, I was encouraged by a great high school teacher to pursue college. Most of the guys in the patch were heading to the mill to get a job. I was right behind them, and he says, I think you would be a good teacher. Ended up in a California State College, which is now the University of California, Pennsylvania, and got educated in industrial arts, which I really loved. And my teaching, my first home teaching assignment, which led to graduation, was on teacher strike. So there I was. I was sitting with all of my credits taken, waiting to student teach, and there was no place to go. And in that time, I got drafted, got out of the Army, et cetera, et cetera. But nonetheless, back to Bible studies, education was always something that I was interested in. It was something that I had a call to, and it was something. It's something that I still really enjoy. So I would kind of get into these discussions, particularly at work, with they would just start to ask some good questions, and I'm saying, you know, it's not right for us to be talking during working hours. Would you like to get together at lunchtime? And so that would lead to Bible studies at work, and then when we moved to Hillcrest Alliance, we had great opportunities to get involved with Bible studies, particularly with new people coming in. And it was kind of Theology 101, who is Jesus and what is you type of studies. So, yeah, it's been a fun journey.
Yeah. What were you doing for Alcoa?
Whatever they asked me to do. I started out as a part-time job. I was going to go back to Pitt and get a degree, get my teaching certificate, and they offered me an opportunity to have my education paid for if the credits were towards helping me in my work at Alcoa, a no-brainer. So back to school almost incessantly. And so I got into mechanical engineering and mechanical design and stuck there. And it was, after 35 years at Alcoa. Yeah, so that I...
Wow.
A whole bunch of different responsibilities. The last was product development, which took me out to different plants and talking about alloys and products that we were developing.
I didn't know you were with Alcoa that long. When I got to know you better was when I came on staff, and you had your own business at that time, didn't you? And do you still have it?
I do. When I was given an early retirement from Alcoa, maybe 3 months later, I started a consulting business. And so, yeah, I still do that. Right, it's the market is kind of limited right now, but nonetheless, it's another extension of ministry, Pastor John. You'll go out site and you'll be talking to people, and you'll go to lunch or dinner, and well, what do you do to occupy your time? Well, I really enjoy woodwork, but my real passion is I'm an assistant pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church.
That's right. You do woodworking too. I forgot about that too, because you've done some things down at the church, haven't you?
Yeah, I think some of them are still working, actually.
Tell us about your family.
My wife, Susie, we've been married, as I said before, for coming on 48 years.
Congratulations.
And she is just a wonderful, wonderful lady. We have three great kids, Ava, is our oldest. She's in North Carolina. She's married to Alex with two grandchildren. Andy getting ready to graduate from high school, and Allison about, I don't know, she's determining if she's going to take special math classes. And we moved to Texas, and Amy, who volunteered at church for quite a while in the counseling department, she is a professor at McClellan Community College, and she has been in Texas for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. So she hasn't developed an accent yet, so I'm hoping that she'll be coming back one day.
Mm-hmm.
Our baby, Anita, she is in Arizona, Flagstaff. She's doing research at Northern Arizona University in developmental biology. She kind of is figuring out how forests refurbish themselves, perhaps after a forest fire or a drought. So she's been working there. She finished her doctorate degree a year and a half, 2 years ago. So she takes on projects there, and she gets to travel all over the world with that, which is pretty exciting for her. She and John have two kids, and they are 6 and 3. So that's Jeremy and Julia.
Mm-hmm. Did you see everybody or most everybody at the holidays?
Did not. You know, with young children and being that far away and commitments, Susie and I, we had a very quiet dinner. It was kind of fun. She made Susie's fried chicken, potato salad, and we hung out and talked to the kids on the phone.
Talk to us, because I know our listeners don't have any idea the scope of your, not just responsibilities, but your activities at ACAC. So talk to us about some of the things you do as an assistant pastor at the church.
Yeah, it's kind of a utility hitter, if you will, in baseball. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about baseball, do you, Pastor John?
No, I'm not that interested.
I didn't think so. Yeah, kind of a utility player. I do whatever needs to be done. My big responsibilities are towards our senior population. It's amazing, just many, many wonderful, wonderful stories of the great people in our senior population. So I keep track of them. I visit, I call, and Susie sends cards to them on birthdays and anniversaries and Christmas events like that. And that takes a good piece of the time. And the rest is hospital visitation. And that's kind of very unusual because you never know when you're going to go. It's very infrequent that you can plan when somebody's going to be in the hospital. And again, that's a very, very rewarding, even though it may be stated wrong, but praying for people, encouraging people, actually seeing God work through the power of prayer and anointing and faith is so, it's overwhelming. And I always say to myself, when we ask God and allow Him to take care of it, our expectations are always going to be exceeded. And I'm sure you've seen that as well in the many activities that you get involved in with prayer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
quite a rewarding position to be in. We, 2 years ago, started a senior newsletter, and that's been fun. We developed the aspect of a church is people, and our church is people who have led a life serving God. And so we look at profiles of people and what they're doing. Some of the aspects of it is the Senior Saint, where we feature somebody who has been in service at Allegheny Center, not necessarily for a long time, but in a way that would be interesting to hear about. I believe we have a recipe. I do a reflection basically on something that has been going on in my heart, particularly as I look at God's Word and do that. and we just reflect on different areas of ministry, kind of like what you're doing now. This coming edition, we'll be talking about missions and Glenn Hanna. Mm-hmm. So that's really a lot of fun. I lead three various Bible studies, growth groups, and that is a very, very enjoyable activity. And other than that, I kind of don't do anything.
Yeah, other than that, you run your business a little bit and get some sleep. And what are teenagers?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those guys. It's a group, very interesting story. There's a couple who have both gone to Glory, and Kurt and Millie Hillman were just amazing folks. They were pillars of the church, just the light and salt that you think about when you see somebody working in the church. Pastor Rock asked them to put together a group that could meet together and have fellowship as seniors. And they did that about 30 years ago. And it's been an honor, actually, to step into their footsteps and see that moving forward. We meet monthly. Right now we're meeting in a wonderful, wonderful place. It's AC4.
Mm-hmm.
And Children's Ministry has just welcomed us, and I hope they enjoy having us as much as we enjoy having them host us. And it's worked out mm-hmm. very, very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice facility. We have a little bit of extra time and easy parking, easy access. So that's been working out quite well.
And who's eligible to come to a teenagers meeting?
You know, that's something that is interesting to me. I never check birth certificates
mm-hmm.
to check in. So I think if you have, if you're 50 and over, mm-hmm. you're more than welcome to attend. The cost is $10, and it's basically it's a great meal prepared by our wonderful chef Joe, who mm-hmm. Just does a great job with his staff, and
mm-hmm.
everybody just raves about the food. So for $10, it's hard to beat. You couldn't
mm-hmm.
you just couldn't find anywhere and get the quality, the quantity, and the fellowship that you get with that venue. So yeah,
yeah.
Teenagers is going on. There's a great trip coming up that I've been talking up. It's called Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is an extension of the district office, and it's also kind of a larger perspective of what Teenagers does. And we are going to Sugar Creek in May 17 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
17 through 20. 18
okay.
through 20.
Okay.
In date. And Sugar Creek is just a great place. We'll be staying at the Carlisle Inn, which is just exquisite. And it's just a great time of fellowship. And it is it's a lot of fun. Susie and I have been going for quite a number of years. This will be the third year that we'll be going to Sugar Creek. Previously, we went to other venues. But
mm-hmm.
if you want to learn, if anybody wants to learn more about it, just go online to District Office, Western Pennsylvania Alliance District Office, and look for Senior Ministries Legacy Builders, and it's all there. You can register online, you can register by phone, whatever is convenient to you. Or you can just find Susie or I at Allegheny Center, and we'll be happy to talk it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Great event.
Andy, let's go back a ways. What attracted you to the Alliance when back in Arnold days? What was it that you were looking for in a church that was fulfilled when you went to the Alliance Church?
The real deal was the simplicity of the fourfold gospel, the fullness of Christ and his ministry is the foundation of the Christian Missionary Alliance. There weren't any there wasn't anything that was complicated about it. It was really like listening to Jesus preach when he was walking the earth. And the fullness of the fourfold gospel was the attraction. The faithfulness to prayer, the aspect of being focused on missions. Our former pastor, John Dittmeyer, who is with the Lord, was an amazing Bible teacher, and his wife, Sally. She knew by name every missionary that was in the field.
Wow.
And she would just talk about them like they were her neighbors, and that was inspiring. That was the big thing. It was the simplicity of the fourfold gospel and the good, basic Bible doctrine preaching, teaching. It was very, very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And the
people were
unpretentious, made you feel welcome. We just felt like we were at home after one or two meetings at the church. And there were a couple of guys that I knew from work who attended there as well, which made it a little bit even more welcoming. So that was the big aspect of the alliance for my wife and I.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are ordained, is that correct, through the alliance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did that happen when before or after ACAC?
Ah, I have to chuckle. I started when I was at Hillcrest, and at that time it was the Ministerial Study Program, which was basically a three-year program that was designed for people who were working, and it was very exciting to me, so I started, and we were growing a church at that point with a new pastor. And he was my mentor, and it just became overwhelming for him to be able to continue to mentor me. So after about 6 months, I was led to sit under the mentorship of Paul Cope, who is now the district superintendent of Western Pennsylvania. And we agreed that I would come out to Mars and sit in with him. And there were two other guys that were going through the program with me. And there was just a lot going on at Mars as well. So the 3 years turned into 5, and by that time they changed the program. So all of the work that I had done in the 5 years was not carried over, and I started another 3-year program.
Oh no!
Oh yes. And again, because of the circumstances, it wasn't. I couldn't go at this at a self-paced rate, so it took it probably took 3 times as long for all of us to get on the same page and be done. By that time, Susie and I had moved to Allegheny Center Alliance Church, and I sat under Pastor Bruce Jackson, and he allowed us to move it at our own pace. So I was on my last paper, my last presentation. I had 85% of it done. I was 2 weeks from sending it in, and I get a letter from national office saying, sorry, we're changing the ministerial study program. You're going to have to start over again. Well, fortunately, Pastor Bruce jumped in alongside of me, and we petitioned, and they grandfathered me in. So I just had a little bit more work to do. So in a 3-year program that took me 15 years to complete, I finally was able to start working towards my the finality of the study at the district offices and being oriented in those. I think that's an 18-month journey there before the ordination tests and all of that. So, yeah, it was, you know, God's timing is perfect, even though I don't understand it.
Right. You figured you just need to refresh your courses as you were going along. And was your ordination, I mean, for me, it surprised me what a special spiritual experience it was. Do you have any similar recollections of your ordination?
Yeah, I think I remember, I remember the ceremony, but the process of sitting with the board who determined eligibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The prayers of that distinguished group of men was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember the questions, and I was more nervous than I was on my first date, Pastor
mm-hmm.
John. It was
mm-hmm.
it was pressure. I'm not a good test taker, but on the completion of that, you walk out and they confer, and then they call you back in to give you the,
mm-hmm.
the verdict. And Pastor Cope was chairing the board of that specific meeting, and he congratulated me on passing, and they asked, they didn't ask, they prayed over me, and I just remember kneeling on the floor and hearing the prayers
mm-hmm.
of dedication, and that was just awesome. And the formal ceremony was great. It was kind of celebratory. Great to hear the encouragement. Good to celebrate it with church family. That was very, very, very encouraging, very uplifting,
mm-hmm.
and extremely well done. Extremely
yeah.
in good order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your recollections? What do you remember first coming to ACAC? What was it like? What were your impressions? What were your thoughts?
Big. Big. Great
mm-hmm.
music. Extremely good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
All types of opportunities to serve. But I really was hesitant to be involved in something so big.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of Susie and I, we both had that similar feeling, but we also felt the Spirit of God there. Coming from an agrarian community,
right.
Farms, coal mining and things like that, multicultural was brand new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had acquaintances, friends at work who were not white,
mm-hmm.
and many from overseas recently, but it was different. As that was a work situation. We didn't have a choice. We were there because we were getting paid. At Allegheny Center, it was unique because we all wanted to be there, and after a very short period of time, the ethnicity of it disappeared, and it just became
mm-hmm.
people. The
mm-hmm.
size to dwindle. You could say hello to a couple people, shake some hands, spend some
mm-hmm.
time talking, and it just all clicked together. Particularly coming into the smaller groups with the Bible studies
mm-hmm.
before or after a service. And the Wednesday prayer meeting, which we were doing then, that was quite a good time together.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't hard to break down the overwhelmingness of the bigness, and just seeing it come together in as individual people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the hardest part for me is understanding that I'll never know every person who attends Allegheny Center Alliance Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is big. You know, I've been small, I've been big. I think I like big better. It just gives you more opportunities, but it can be daunting and overwhelming, especially where you're connecting or trying to connect with individuals. And that was always my philosophy, why I went around and tried to connect with as many people as possible. And I had a goal every Sunday of trying to learn three more names. And sometimes if I saw a first name, or I'd actually go look up people in ACS trying to connect a face with names, just because it takes work to connect to folks in a big situation. And it was a little easier after the growth groups came along, but still it takes some getting used to, and is probably not everyone's cup of tea where worship and church membership are concerned. Now, you've got 18 years under your belt to talk about there are some obvious changes, but just what are some of the changes, some more significant changes to you at ACAC from the time that you've come to where we are today?
That's an easy thing to talk about. One of the consistent things about ACAC is that it is a dynamic body. Mm-hmm. We never rest on what got us to where we are.
Right.
We use that as a building block to move on. And I was listening to you talking about the expanded influence, and even though it hasn't been described as expanded influence in the 18 more or less years that Susie and I have been there, it's always been an objective to reach the lost in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something that is amazing to me. The transition of staff doesn't miss a beat. The ability of staff to be unified is absolutely amazing. Just as a little bit of a bunny trail, I remember I was meeting with a gentleman who was in pretty serious state of Alzheimer's and living alone, and I was trying to contact a family member, which I finally did, who lived quite a distance away, and I was talking to his brother and asking him, you know, what was going to go on, what was the next step, because he was getting picked up by the police. He didn't know where he was, driving his car and getting lost. And so we had a lengthy conversation, and he was kind of disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me some things about what was available in the community. I was trying to share resources. But nonetheless, he ended up calling the church and saying that this guy that's working with my brother is just absolutely telling him stuff that he's never going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was walking into the church, and Pastor Bruce took me aside, and he says, Andy, tell me about so-and-so. And I described the situation. He says, oh, thank you very much. And I'm saying, well, why did he want to know about the gentleman? And he said, well, his brother called, and I just needed to hear your side of it. Mm-hmm. And later he revealed to me the discussion. And to have somebody come alongside of and ask you your side first, I think you get the drift. It was a team. It wasn't it was just a very comforting position to be in, knowing that the executive staff was your friend.
Yeah, they had your back, and stayed connected, you know, to one another and to the people. What do you think the role of the growth groups? How do you think that's gone now that we've been into that 5 years?
That's a wonderful opportunity to just share a passion of making the small church, making the large church small. And the growth groups have been extremely well designed. Pastor Karen did her normal job of excellence in putting together the views and the structures of the class. I just hear nothing other. 98% of the comments are positive. I'm getting to meet people. The prayer time is special. The time of fellowship is special. Just making that growth group more or less an extension of a family has been what I've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the growth groups are unfortunately not taken, are not being utilized by the population of Allegheny Center Alliance Church to the extent it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But a good sell itself, and I think that's what's going to happen. Somebody will tell somebody, and they'll invite them to the growth group. And once you get in, it's pretty addictive. It's
yeah,
just a good
it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's dynamic at ACAC, it's tough to, when new people come in, to orient them to some of the things that have been going on or are important. And you know, it's even with this program of the 91 weeks, the initiative that we have coming up, you know, as people join the church a year out, we've got, you know, concerts and funerals and all kinds of things happening, and it's not always easy to communicate the priorities because you only have people for a certain amount of time, and we haven't always developed our other media besides the face-to-face. So it's tough, and you know, because the reason I say that, because it's been a while since we've really promoted growth groups, where we've really pushed them like we did when we first started, because when we first started, people responded. Now, it's, you know, we've got, you know, Praise Uninhibited on Friday nights. We've got racially charged society, panel discussions. So it's always a big challenge in a big church to be communicating to the broader audience exactly what's going on. Andy, of all the things that you do, and you do so many different things and you do them well, do you have a favorite? Which one do you really look forward to? Is it preaching? Is it teenagers? What's your favorite? What do you enjoy the most?
I enjoy being where God puts me. One of my mottos, one of my criteria for moving forward is that if I decide to do it, I probably shouldn't be doing it. But if God put me there, it's going to be more fun, more rewarding than I can ever realize. I like being in my comfortable zone. I do realize that there are some things that I'm probably not called for. I think my biggest gift is teaching, my listening, and being able to hear what people are saying. It takes time, it takes patience to be able to listen and perceive people are wanting to get at. So I think my favorite times are hearing whatever the situation would be, whether it be in a growth group, a Bible study, in a visit, a home visitation, a hospital visitation, a counseling situation, or something like that, is being there to hear what God is moving, or people, or hearing what people's desire for God to do in their life is, and then seeing that through prayer, through diligence, through hard work, come in. A quick example of that would be this fall, I believe. Late fall, did a class to help people become aware of what it takes to do visitation. So we looked at hospital visitation, we looked at shut-in visitation, and elder visitation, people who were incapacitated or not able to get to church on a regular basis. And it included a number of our elders as well as a number of lay staff. And that was so good to see people. I've done that class probably three or four times before with success. But this class, almost everyone there had a call of God to be there. And the results of that were absolutely amazing. My Susie and I went on vacation. I got a call from an elder who had been called by the church that somebody was in the hospital, and he took the call. And that happened again, and that happened again. And there was a very, very special, very touching situation that occurred recently. Actually, you were talking about the funeral this afternoon. Excuse me, this morning. And I remember visiting Kim. She was in the suburban hospital, suburban rehab, whatever they have renamed that. And I walk in the room, and one of the ladies who was in the class, in the visitation class, was sitting beside Kim in the chair, Bible open, reading scripture to Kim. And it was hard for me to even speak. I was so emotionally moved by the compassion of this person. And it's a team of three ladies who had just followed Kim from Allegheny General to Suburban and back to Mercy, and they were there for her. They were there almost every day.
Wow!
And to me, that's the fruit of seeing God's Spirit move in the hearts of people. There's nothing better that I want to be involved in than allowing people to experience, whether it be education or whether it be an opportunity open to them, where they can minister in their God-given gifts. That was very, very.
Yeah, and that is the upside of a large church. You obviously have a larger pool of gifts to fish in, if I can use that metaphor, and so therefore a greater diversity of gifts, so you can have three people who feel that they can give their time in three out of a couple thousand adults, and they did it faithfully, and so that I enjoy about a large church setting is that you do have the diversity of gifts, and ACAC has done a great job of communicating the need. I mean, when you look at, we have almost 500 volunteers in children's ministry, that's just mind blowing.
Yeah, in addition to all of the volunteers at UIF and the people who are just, if there's a need, they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember a situation that Light of Life donated some woodworking equipment to Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And Pastor Ken Turnbull asked me if I could help set that up. And I said, I would be glad to. And so we set it up, and it was amazing. I met people who I didn't even know could turn a wrench, and they're there helping. And then later, being able to educate the ACAC staff who takes care of maintenance on the skills working in the wood shop, and the wonderful cooperation and. Yeah, the aspect of the big church, and I think that's kind of what you were talking about, is you can really see the biblical model of the of the church, Christ as the head, and all of the different body parts that are necessary to run.
Yeah.
And the big church has a big advantage, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's harder to organize, and of course with the proliferation of gifts, there's a lot of expectations that there's going to be an opportunity for those gifts to be used, and sometimes that can get overwhelming just to communicate it or organize it. Let me ask you, in the few minutes we have left, Andy, are you looking forward to the 91 weeks and walking through Know the Word?
Yeah, very much so. Susie and I started, and we were. Three or four more or less weeks into it, really enjoying it, and then I got the message that it was going to be featured, and so we had a discussion as to whether we should keep going or wait, and we elected to stop, and so that we could be go through it with the rest of the church. It is so exciting to know that people are going to be reading the same scriptures that day.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hear the same commentary from Pastor Soper, and the prayer is just going to be—it's going to take the roof off of the church. That's my—that's my minimal expectation that great things are going to happen.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I want to thank you for your time today, and thank you and your wonderful, lovely wife, Sue, for your selfless service to the church. I know in my stint at ACAC, you made my job so much easier, and the first of the month I would always receive a report of where you had been and what you had done, and it was an impressive report where you logged a lot of miles visiting shut-ins, doing hospital visitation, And of course, the, you know, with our scheduling in the big church, when the funerals and other things that obviously you can't plan would come up, you were always right there to, whenever possible, assist and help out, and made your schedule the schedule that was needed at the church and for the leadership. And just want to thank you for all you and Sue have done, and the cards that I get. I am in the teenager group, and so I appreciate hearing from you, and you just the epitome of faithful service. And it's you know, folks like you have made ACAC a meaningful experience for many people. So I want to thank you and just say God bless. Any final words as we sign off?
I thank you for the opportunity to share, and thank you for what you're up to. I believe you're getting to a different segment of people that perhaps wouldn't read or hear about our church and about our wonderful Savior in another way. So God bless you, Pastor John, and have a good trip. I know
you've
been buying candy bars for these pests who are trying to raise money to go to Kenya with you.
Thank you. Yep. Every dollar counts. Thank you. Thank you. And and thank you for the prayer covering, for the encouragement. And again, keep up the good work, and we'll see you around campus.
Okay, my friend.
Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye, John.
All right, there you have Pastor Andy Antoninka, oversees the ministry to our senior adults at the church, specifically a group called Teenagers, but just does so much more than that. And I'm really not just saying what I said. Because I said this to Andy over and over again when I was on staff. What a blessing. There was nothing that he wouldn't do for the church and for God's people. And it's a gift to the church when you have people like that. Well, that about wraps it up for today. Next week, we hope to have on our newest musician, Michael Day. And Michael had to postpone a couple of times. We had him scheduled to come on, had family emergencies, and so, which always come up, or department emergencies. And again, funerals and things don't stop because we have a scheduled radio show. So our plan is to have him on next week. Then I want to try and get Pastor Glenn Hanna on. We haven't talked to him for a while. He's always a good interview to talk about what's going on in missions. And then I got two more slots, and then he'll be off to Kenya February 26th. But we've got plenty more radio until the trip to Kenya takes place. So this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, signing off for another week. My thanks to Pastor Andy for his time. My thanks to you for listening. Spread the word. We're on our way to 100,000 listeners with the Blog Talk Radio show. It's been a great run. We're coming up on 4 years in April, and Lord willing, and the leadership feels it's valuable, I hope to continue. In the meantime, this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, signing off, and see you on campus this week. Take care. God bless.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the ACAC Internet Radio Network for more interviews and insight into the life of Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.blogtalkradio/ACAC Threads. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.